It's so good to come to be with you today on this Good Friday, April 10th, 2020, and share with you the Word of God. I am saddened that we can't gather together like we would like this holiday season in celebration of the victory of Christ at the cross and the power of the hope of the resurrection. However, today in this Word and Sunday, I hope to share with you via streaming or recorded word what God has placed upon my heart for not just the family of God at Covenant of Grace, but my friends and neighbors in Christ, those outside the body of Christ, and those who might hear the word and be ministered to it and encouraged during these difficult times. We are going through difficult times. We are struggling with a virus that is prevalent upon the earth and is laying claim of many loved ones, and we have got to see it through that we change the course and the direction of what is and see hope and grace and a turnaround in this battle against the coronavirus and to see God's grace in our hearts and lives and see the preservation of as many lives as possible in this hour and for doctors and scientists to have wisdom considering how to tackle the problems that be, and that God would grant them the wisdom and knowledge they need to circumvent this crisis and help not just our nation, but those throughout the world in dealing with this virus. Amen. But I'm thankful that you're with us today, and we are bound together through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the grace of God in Christ. And I pray as I share with you the word that God has given me today, that it would mean a lot to you as it has already come to me a lot, to me just studying this word for today. I want to talk to you about at the foot of the cross, reputation or tradition will not save you. At the foot of the cross, reputation or tradition will not save you. I have a lot of great memories considering Easter, don't you? Lots of different times with family and friends or with the body of Christ, where I have shared together in communion or et cetera, in fellowship in such a wonderful way, and have embraced and revisited the cross and the power of the gospel, and have experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But there is one particular time that I will not forget or ever forget in my life. And this time I was a young Christian, only a few years in the church. And my pastor at the time used to allow me to get up and lead song service a couple times during the months of the year. And this one particular time, I was asked to do so, and the Lord had put upon my heart during this Easter season these songs considering the cross. And one was Amazing Grace, another was At the Cross, and there was another one as well. And in singing them, I became so overwhelmed that I could not continue in leading the song service, and my pastor, so gracious as he always was, just kind of stepped on in and took over and finished the song and then continued with things. And the Holy Spirit just continued to minister to me, and the Lord, I believe, ministered to the congregation as well. I had just gotten done a few days before listening a couple times to a message from a tape that Reverend Nordstrom had given me considering the medical aspects of the crucifixion and considering what Jesus went through. And it was just so on my mind. Dr. Klepper was his name, who ministered this word, a very good friend of Reverend Nordstrom's. And he taught about all these things that Jesus must have been sensing on his way to the cross, and how the crown on his head and the stripes laid on his back all must have affected him. And it just got to me that, you know, the Lord would do such a great thing for us as he did in being willing to lay down his life, to give himself over at the cross, and to spill those great drops of blood for us, and to suffer death that we might have hope and might have a relationship with the Father restored through the power of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to go all the way to the cross. He didn't have to go beyond Calvary. He didn't have to do any of that, but he did it because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. He did it for us. He looked beyond the pain. He looked beyond the ridicule. He looked beyond the treatment he got. He looked beyond the human characters of the day doing and saying what they did for us and for them. God chose to give. And today, as we look at Calvary afresh, I pray that that message would be understood afresh to our hearts. That his love reached down so much for our benefit. And that in his giving of himself, he didn't care the price he had to pay. That is the love of God for us today. Centuries before Jesus was born, the cross had been used as an instrument of torture and death. In 519 BC, for example, King Darius I of Persia crucified 3,000 political enemies in Babylon. This method of execution was later adopted by the Romans for non-citizens and slaves. When Jesus Christ bore our sins at Calvary, 1 Peter 2:24, the cross took on a new significance. There the Savior, through the blood of his cross, made it possible for us to escape judgment and be reconciled unto God. Colossians 1, verse 20 and 21 tells us. The Apostle Paul understood the significance of the cross. He'd done many things in which he might have found personal satisfaction and pride. But in his letter to the Galatians, he wrote, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. My reputation means nothing. My traditions mean nothing. The things I have mean nothing. The things I possess mean nothing. But that I could boast of the cross means everything." As we understand what Jesus did for us on the cross, we too should be humbled. Our feeble efforts are nothing. His work is everything. The resurrected Savior invites all men and women to come humbly in faith to him by believing that he died in our place on the cross. Because of that, we receive full forgiveness. Not just a little bit, not just kinda, but full forgiveness. Absolute redemption. No wonder the hymn writer Horatius Bonar exclaimed, and I might have pronounced that wrong, "Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross." Why? Because he did it all for us. You know, we so many times think so much about our pedigree, our reputation, who we are, what we are, our traditions. We grab hold of those like safety blankets, like little things in our lives that we hold on to like vain little idols. And we think that they mean so much. You know, we think of our nationalities and those things. We play them up many times as well as a big deal. But your nationality, your reputation, your traditions, all those things I mentioned, they're meaningless compared to the cross. I want to boast of the cross. I want to consider the goodness of Jesus. I want to be thankful for the power of the redemption that he has given me and the grace that he has shown me, that I might show forth the glory of the Lord, not within myself, but through Christ within me. Amen. Look to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18, and I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible. I watch so many movies and different things where people play up who they are, what they are, where they've been, and all these other things. And they think because of these things, there's somebody. You know, I want you to know there's not a queen or king on the earth that's better, bigger than you today, or me. Christ came down from glory, the King of glory, and gave himself for us and became a servant, and then gave himself up on a tree, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. If the King of glory can humble himself and come down and just bear himself open for all to see and give himself for our redemption. What does any king and priest or president or anything have going for them that's any greater than that? But he was willing to give it all up. All your pride in who you are is meaningless today. Did you hear me? All your pride in who you are is meaningless today. It meant nothing to the Lord either. Amen. It meant nothing to him. He could have came down and taken his rightful place in lineage as a king. But he didn't. He gave himself up for you and me today. Galatians 6, 11 through 18. Look at the large letters I'm making with my own handwriting. Whoever wants to look good by human standards will try to get you to be circumcised, but only so they won't be harassed for the cross of Christ. Those who are circumcised don't observe the law themselves, but they want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about your physical body or their physical body. But as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through him, and I have been crucified to the world. Being crucified or not being crucified doesn't mean anything. What matters is a new creation. Hallelujah. May peace and mercy be on whoever follows this rule and on God's Israel. From now on, no one should bother me because I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord of grace be with you in your spirit. Let me go back right now, if you allow me to verse 14. But as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through him, and I have been crucified to the world. Being circumcised or not being circumcised means nothing. What matters is a new creation. What matters is a new creation. What makes it all worthwhile? The power of the cross, the grace that God showed us, is the fact that I can become a new creation, putting on the mind of Christ, putting upon the armor of God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, abiding in him, and knowing the grace of God that passes all understanding. Because he can make me a new creation, he can rip aside those tattered garments of sin, means everything to me, because then I can embrace his holiness. I can have his righteousness. I can walk in his grace. And I can see the work of God be done through me, that I might show forth the image of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Paul seems to be indicating that the agitators here in this passage of scripture are concerned about their own reputations as law keepers. It is possible that by promoting the practice of circumcision, they are seeking to identify publicly as Jews and thereby avoid persecution. The Greco-Roman society, Jews tended to be accepted more readily than Christians. You know, so many times we as Christians want to fit in. We kind of want to just get along with everybody. And it's nice to be loved. It's nice to be appreciated. It's nice to fit in. But sometimes I ask myself to what extent that should be. Because as we try to fit in, so many times we become less of who we are in Christ Jesus, and we no longer are recognizing that we've been bought by a price, and we do not show forth the love of God, and we compromise who we are. Too many of us are willing to give up on certain things in order to feel good around those around about. We cuss with them and we play games with them, or we do different things that we know sometimes are kind of borderline what we should be doing, or we do things that are participating in habits and things that are not Christ-like in order to, quote, be a part of things. But is that accommodation, what we should be doing? Because we are supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We need to shine a little brighter. We need to affect those around about. People need to taste and see that the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever, not to see the world just through us, because the world they got all the time. But if you're walking the light, if he is the light and sharing the love of Christ as he came and gave and showed forth the Father's love. It should be touching ours. It should be ministering to people. It should have an effect. When you go in a room, when you go someplace, when you do something, there should be a little bit of different reputation about you. And not a reputation of vaunting up some kind of haughty spirit of who I am, but who he is and the love of God, and that you should be able to go anyplace and there should be a presence. There should be an attitude. There should be something about you that says Jesus. Amen. Paul's devaluation of circumcision is astonishing here, given his Jewish heritage and training in the law. Here, Paul puts circumcision in its proper place. It cannot define the status of the believer, nor can it transform the believer. What matters for Paul is the new creation work of God through Christ's death and the resurrection and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Paul's not concerned about the physicality of things and the circumcision. He is wanting to be defined as the person who's been transformed by the power of God and go forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things become new. I remember my mom coming to me a couple months after I got saved and going in that little church on Post and Prairie, the little white church in Post and Prairie. She said to me, "Son," you know, I said, "What?" She said, "I'm noticing some differences since you're going to that church." And I didn't know what to think at first, but I said, "I hope they're good, Mom." She said, "I can trust you more. You don't cuss anymore." And she started telling me about some different things. And I said, "Thank you, Mom. I really hope to be a blessing to our family." And she said, "Son, those Nordstrom's, they're really having a good effect on you." And then she just walked away. She put it all on the pastor. The pastor and his wife and his family must be just doing a great job. And they were a blessing to me in every way, shape, and form. But it's not who they were, but who he is that made all the difference. Hallelujah. Not who they were, but who he is that made all the difference. They pointed me someplace. They pointed me to the cross. And I got to the cross and I went through the cross, and on the backside of Calvary, I found redemption. I found love. I found resurrection. I found grace. I found peace. I found power. I found joy. Why? Because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. We need to point people in a direction. We need to point them to the cross. Amen. Because it's at the cross they can find hope. It's at the cross they can find peace. It's at the cross they can find something on the other side, on the back side of Calvary. After the pain you've gone through, after the things you've seen, after the things you've experienced, and you get through, and then boom, the power of the resurrection takes place, and the Holy Spirit begins to abide, and the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. It wasn't fun for Jesus Christ to go through Calvary. You know, he died out in Gethsemane in prayer and etc. to make his way to the tree. But he had to go through a scourging. He had to go through abuse. He had to go through a painful situation. He had to carry a cross by himself for most of the way, all the way up to Golgotha's hill. It was a painful road. But he considered it all joy. He considered it all joy that, because he could see beyond, that Patrick Boston and each and every one of you out there who are listening to this message could come unto the Lord and to know him and to have fellowship with Papa. It meant everything to him. And sometimes I want you to know there are things we have to go through in life. But sometimes if we recognize that going through the price to get to the prize, we see that, hey, it's all going to be okay. Even though it's not comfortable. And I want you to know that in this world, there's a lot of things that we go through that aren't comfortable. And sometimes being a believer in Christ Jesus in this world, and quote, not fitting in like the world wants us to fit in, is not comfortable, but it's necessary. It's necessary. Why? So that somebody can get what you got. They can experience the Lord. They can have hope. They can have strength. They can know the peace of God. They can hear the word and the word have effect in their lives and know that Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. When I pass by Calvary, three things occur. There's more, I know, but three things I want to point out. When I pass by Calvary, three things core. One, I see the cross for what it is, and it is the path to new life. I see the cross for what it is, and it is the path to new life. It wasn't until after Calvary, it wasn't until after the power of the resurrection, the disciples understood the validity, the necessity of the cross. They didn't understand the whole thing. Peter wanted to run away, man. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times that he was even a believer. He wasn't gonna, he didn't want to pay the price. But God already knew that he was going to fail and had already said, I prayed for you. And Peter, it's gonna be alright on the other side. It's gonna be okay on the other side of Calvary. You know, today, the cross now makes sense. But when they were in it, going through it back then, the disciples and different ones and followers of Christ, it wasn't making any sense. There was confusion. There was doubt. There was fear. They were running for their lives. But God had a plan. And I want you to know today that God has a plan for you and me, if we'll embrace it. And he wants to come into your heart and your life. And he wants to make a way for you. And he wants to show you that he is the way maker. All things become possible through Christ. The most difficult of situations can be overturned. Different things can happen and occur when it seems like there can't be anything that could save you. But God can make a way where there seems no way. Number two, on the backside of Calvary, revelation and understanding is given. Wisdom, grace, understanding. It's given on the other side of Calvary. After the disciples went through everything that transpired and Jesus Christ showed himself by many infallible proofs and he rose and he left this world in physical sense but left us the Comforter. On the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, God baptized them with power through the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God on earth began to become resonant with them and gave them new life, gave them new purpose, gave them a fresh anointing, the same anointing that Jesus had that overcame Satan in the wilderness, the very same power that gave Jesus the impetus and the power to make it through the cross to get to the other side. To see the miracles that took place, see the lives changed, see the healing that took place, all because of the work of the Spirit of God. He's given us that deposit. He has given us that hope. He is going to reveal some things. And today he's revealing things to the church, just like he did back then, to help them, to assist them, to give them wisdom, to help them in the work of the God, to help them to do great exploits. But we've got to choose to follow through and get to that place where the Holy Spirit allows us to see the things he wants to show us. There's a reason why some of you today aren't, having God reveal much to you in his word or getting much of a sense of what God's doing in this hour. And you're wondering what God's doing in your life because you're not paying the cost. You're not going back to Calvary. You're not getting back to that place where it's less of you and more of him. And because of that, you're being short-circuited from the vision, the grace, the power of revelation in so many areas of life. God can give you eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to you and help you in your walk. But too many of us are so caught up in things and we want to take shortcuts. We don't want to pay the price of dying out. We don't want to pay the price of true repentance. We don't want to pay the price of truly laying it all on the altar. But we need to do it. Old-time preachers used to talk about praying through. And when they prayed through, they prayed through. They prayed through until God said, it's done. Boom! We're moving on. Till many times that preacher broke down or that individual broke down and they just laid it all at the altar in tears. But yet joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Because after Calvary, there was a resurrection. And I want you to know that that breakthrough moment can come in your life if you're willing to lay it down. And that's because of number three, the Comforter comes and the Holy Spirit begins to chart your course. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to chart your course? You know, there was a time in the Old Testament where a man by the name of Jonah did not like the divine assignment that God had given him. God had told him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. The gospel he had back then, which was, hey, I am God, this is it, repent or else. There wasn't much grace in it, and there was not really a promise in it, but just repent. But Jonah didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because he knew the reputation. Nineveh was not a good place for preachers. It was a place of death most of the time and everything else. But when he got on course, after God got his attention, we all know the Bible story from the Old Testament, how he found himself in the belly of a fish and he ended up being, you know, kind of thrown up on the beach and finding his way somehow to Nineveh. He preached the word. And God saved the city despite the fact that Jonah sat outside the city and waited for them all to die. He wanted judgment. And he got mad because he said, I knew you were going to forgive him. Even in the Old Testament, there was grace. Jonah sat outside the city, folks, and expected God to do something because he preached it. Judgment's coming. But he knew God's heart. And God wasn't wasting his time doing all what he did to just send Jonah to preach for no good reason. And I want you to know today in your heart and life, God has not sent you somewhere, put you somewhere for no good reason. You're there for a purpose. You have a divine destiny, and God wants to fulfill it in your heart and life. So remember those three things. When I pass by Calvary, three things occur. I see the cross for what it is, and it is the path to new life. Secondly, on the backside of Calvary, revelation and understanding is given. And then finally, the Comforter comes, and the Holy Spirit begins to chart my course. You know, as believers, we need to really understand what Christ did for us at the cross. We need to examine some things. In Hebrews 2, verse 14, we read that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, even the devil. You know, Christ had to defeat the enemy at the cross. Satan, at the time, was just as kind of confused as the disciples. He didn't, I think, understand and grasp the full purpose of God. He understood the prophetic word, but he didn't understand how that prophetic word was going to become reality. And so Satan, whether he liked it or not, became a part of God's plan. And just as the disciples didn't get revelation till after they went through and got to the backside of Calvary and to the day of Pentecost later on, Satan didn't really understand all that was going on. And he was just happy to get rid of him. I got him buried. I got him dead in the grave. Death, hell, corruption. And we're going to hold on to him. He ain't going anywhere. But what the devil didn't know, he was the power of resurrection. He was the resurrection in life. And Jesus was not going to be kept down. And he appeared, the scriptures tell us, in the bowels of Hades or hell. And he took the authority of Satan to hold the people of God at bay in creation, at bay in the cell blocks of eternity, of punishment, and gave hope and opportunity for the power of God unto resurrection and a place in heaven. In the presence of God. Jesus Christ had to destroy that power hold upon humanity. He had to destroy the fear of death, hell, and the grave. There are several Greek words which are translated by the English word destroy. For instance, the Greek word apoloma, which is translated destroy, and means to loose off or away. I want you to know when Jesus Christ destroyed the enemy, he said, get out of here. He loosed him. He got rid of him. He put him away. Satan, get behind me. It's written. Hallelujah. Another Greek word, similarly, translated diapathetero. It literally means to mar or corrupt thoroughly. It is used only in Revelation to depict complete destruction. He had to get rid of that. He had to put aside Satan. And you can't destroy things the way you used to, Satan. Jesus had to get rid of that. Having abolished death, hell, and the grave, taking away the fear, God has given mankind hope. Jesus Christ has come to give us hope. And in his death, burial, and resurrection has given us the power to become the sons and daughters of Zion. He wants to make, as Romans 3:3 says, Satan's effect as null and void. Make it void. Not give any hope. Our faith can become null and void if we don't place it in him. And Satan could put to no effect the good work that God has done. But if we walk in his grace and walk in his power and abide in the word, the work of Satan will be voided, put to death, disannulled by the power of Jesus Christ. Calvary's work is an overcoming work. It strips the works of Satan. It strips the authority Satan has. It strips the fear of death, hell, and the grave. It gives us hope and opportunity. When Jesus came to the earth, he might have been in Satan's territory. He had to overcome and did Satan on his own grounds. But because he did, he has established a new kingdom, a greater kingdom. And because of that kingdom, we have hope today. Every credential of authority which Satan possessed was stripped from him by the Son of God through the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus went into the holies of holies, not made with hands, and poured his blood out before the presence of the Father, the Supreme Court of the universe acknowledged the sacrifice and proclaimed the debt paid for you and me. And Satan no further had any ability to lay charge against us, if so be it that we declare ourselves and get into covenant with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Furthermore, that Supreme Court validated the legal defeat of Satan. He has no more right to rule because he possesses no authority to do so in the believer's life. I want you to know today that through the cross, we have such great hope. And that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The accuser of the brethren might be going about and trying to remind you constantly of your failures. Reminding you of all the things that you've done and that you are just no good. Look at what you did to her. What did you do to him? What did you do to that little boy? What did you do to that little girl? Whatever it might be. He's the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus, our advocate, our high priest, has made a way for us and has tore down the veil and has come to us and has given us opportunity to go into the presence of God, blood washed, cleansed, set free through the mercy of God. And we just have to accept that covenant relationship that he has for us and to walk into his presence and to know forgiveness of sins. Satan is always trying to accuse you. But Jesus wants you to know that the Lamb's blood has already been applied to the doorpost of your heart. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow him to make the difference in you. Have you been washed in the waters of baptism? Have you been filled with his presence? Do you know what it means to be a believer in Christ Jesus? Take advantage of that covenant. Explore it. Allow God to just bathe you over in His love. Amen. There are many of us today that have gone through a lot in life. We've seen a lot of different things that have touched our hearts and affected us in various ways. But whatever it is, for good or bad, let it all fall on to the altar of God. Because all who I am is meaningless, that I might boast of Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Him. And so today, as you look at Calvary, it's not your reputation. It's not who you are that matters or where you've been. But it's where you stand today. At the foot of the cross, in the presence of the Lord, not embracing your traditions, not embracing your reputations, not embracing who you are, but who He is. And availing yourself to the presence of God and coming unto Him and just turning it all over to Him. And if you're a believer today that's been compromising and going back and forth and different things and just trying to fit in with society to kind of get along, that's not God's plan for you. He wants you to have an effect as He had an effect. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, things changed when He walked here on the earth. The money changers, they couldn't operate the way they did before. Funerals couldn't operate the way they did before. As Jesus Christ would come by and He would speak life to people and they'd come from death into life. There's an effect that can take place through you in the hearts and lives of so many people today. If you'll just but let Christ in you use you and see Him share His love with those around about you. You know something? What does Jesus want to do in my life today? Who does He want to touch today? What does He want to say today? Not what I want, but in my goings and comings, how might I share His love today? That's what it's all about. At the foot of the cross, reputation or tradition will not save you, but Christ will. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one who's heard this message today, that You would help them to embrace the cross. You would help them to take hold of that which, God, You want them to possess. And that is the ministry of Your Spirit and the power of Your great love. And to be able to take that, God, and to be able to see the Lord minister through them in such a way that would touch not just their lives, but others. As they consider who You are and what You've done for them today. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of God at Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for Your willingness to give of Yourself so that I can have hope in the power of the resurrection. I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for this day. I pray that You bless each and every one who hears this word today in and through the name of Jesus. I pray that this word has been a blessing to you. God bless you on this Good Friday. In Jesus' name, amen.